Lord, we love you this morning. Do you love him? Do you love him? Praise God. Lord, we love you this morning. Remember, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, all thy strength, everything that's within you. That's the first and great commandment. And then thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Father, we love you this morning. And we thank you as always, the entrance of your word. We know it brings light. We ask, oh God, let that light shine in our hearts today. Give us revelation knowledge and give us understanding. And we pray, thy kingdom come, O Lord, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus just to appreciate the Lord. Thank you, Brother Emeka. Beautiful music. God bless you. Thank you so much. All right. So last week we were talking about, you know, kingdom, the kingdom of God and the church. And I said it was part one. So today I'm going to do the kingdom of God and the church part two. That's right. So, you know, I'm going to try to make a continuation of where I stopped last week. You know, but first let me say that when we're talking about the kingdom of God and the church, you know, there one is not against the other. The church is not against the kingdom of God, neither is the kingdom of God against the church. You know, so we're not preaching against the church, neither are we preaching against the kingdom. You know, but actually we are preaching the message of the kingdom and how the church fits into that. Praise the Lord. So we need to understand certain things about, you know, I'm going to try to just talk from the heart today. I've got some scriptures to read, you know, but, you know, I want to talk mostly just from the heart. You know, the, you know, so, you know, we did a little bit of a review and some people said what they got from the message and so forth. So that was good, you know, and I want to continue from that. You know, there is something about that's to be said about the kingdom of God. Now, if you read in the Bible and say the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, all the things that Jesus used to talk, they're kind of the same thing. But, you know, I want to draw a parallel, not exactly a contrast, but a parallel between the role of the church and the purpose of the kingdom. Now, the kingdom is the purpose, because that's what God announced from the beginning. We read that last week, so I'm not going to go to that again. And the mandate that God put upon man to have dominion was an expression of the authority that God was giving us in the kingdom. Actually, dominion is a lot stronger than authority. Authority is the power to execute, you know, carry out certain things. Dominion is rulership. His reign. You know, so, you know, that's what God intended. And that message carries out through the whole scriptures. We showed it last week from Daniel, how he talked about the kingdom of God that's coming. Isaiah, how he talked about the kingdom of God that's coming. When Isaiah prophesied, you know, Daniel chapter 2 talked about that. Isaiah chapter 9 talks about it when he prophesied about the Christ, child and the son that's coming. The son will be given, presented. We talked about the government shall be upon his shoulders. I want to reemphasize that, you know, when you talk of the shoulders, the Bible says that Christ is the head of the church. So shoulders right there means the church, you know. So let's make sure we understand that. You know, that's the governing authority, the governing body is supposed to be that. And something else I want to advance a little further today. The message of the kingdom being both a present and future message at the same time. You know, I talked about that a little bit last week, that look, we don't need to always think only of the future when we're talking about the kingdom message. It's more than just the future. It's even right now. You know, when the Bible says that we're ambassadors for Christ. Hello? Are you all still with me? Too silent in here. Ambassadors for Christ. What does it mean to be an ambassador? We're not going to be ambassadors in heaven. You can't be an ambassador in heaven. Ambassadorship is right here. You know, and, the United States may have an ambassador to Nigeria or some other country. Suppose the United States has an ambassador to Nigeria. That ambassador does not live in the United States. He's there in Nigeria. You know, his job is not here. The job is over there. So, in the same way, if we are ambassadors representing the kingdom of heaven, we're not living in heaven. Even though we are seated with Christ, we're seated in Christ. So I want to even actually correct that. Ephesians, talks about us sitting in Christ, not sitting with Christ. We're sitting in Him. So, the body, we're part of His body. So, even though we're there in Him, in heavenly places, our role right now is on the earth. So the message that Jesus began to put forth, and He began to teach the kingdom and begin to send His disciples out and say, as you go, Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, teach the kingdom, talk about the kingdom is at hand. So we want to advance that a little bit further this morning. And I want to point us to, I did this last week, but I'm going to read some of it today. I want to point us out to the parables of the kingdom. The best place to read it is the book of Matthew. It's the best place, Matthew chapter 13. There's other places where, the parable is there. Even in Matthew, some other parables you can find in chapter 20, chapter 25, and so on. And you can go to Luke, you can find some parables. You even find in Mark, you find some parables. In chapter 4, you find in Luke, you find some parables in chapter 19. I want to bring out some things from one of the parables today. But before we go there, let me say this, that the understanding that we want you to get, both from last week and today, is that the church are the agents of fulfilling the purpose of the kingdom. And that in that kingdom, Christ is King. Hallelujah. That's right. Christ is King. And we want you to know also that it was never God's intention for us. That's why you all are still here. You didn't go to heaven when you were saved. if all it was for us was to go to heaven, then you would just be translated from the moment that you gave your life to Christ. But that's not it. As a matter of fact, Jesus praying in John chapter 17, I believe about verse 15 or so, He said, Father, I pray not that you should take them from the world. I don't want them to be taken from the world. I want them to stay right there, but keep them from the evil. Hallelujah. So Jesus, in intention, so we need to get away from, give your life to Christ so that you can go to heaven. That's a message that the church has been preaching. I'm not talking about just this church, but I mean the message of the church in general. It's a lot, the kingdom message is a lot more than give your life to Christ so that you can go to heaven. What about what happens in between? This is the in-between gap that has been lost. And we're trying to fill that gap now. Amen. What are we supposed to be doing in between? From the time I give my life to Christ until the time I go to heaven, then what? So I just give my life to Christ, come to church, sing praise, dance, holler, jump up and down, but I make no impact in the world. No impact at all. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. I was teaching this, some of these on Clubhouse yesterday, and somebody asked me a question. There's a parable, that Jesus talked about. It's in Matthew. It's also in Luke. It talks about the parable of the, where they went out. He said, look, go out. The ones that were bidden were not worthy. And then He told them to go out and gather all of the, people that are in the, just wherever they may be, wherever you may find them, go and gather them and bring them in. And finally, when they came in, there was one person there, that didn't have his wedding garment on. How many of you know that story? Hello? But he didn't have the wedding garment on. And when he came in, the master said, "Friend, how did you get in here without the wedding garment?" Now, he got in there, but he didn't have a wedding garment on. And so somebody asked me a question. He said, "Well, what all does it mean? You know, what all does it mean?" So, well, you know, I believe that the man made it in, but he had nothing to show. He made no impact. Remember in Revelation 19, when Jesus came, I don't want to take time to read all these scriptures, because if I read them all, it's going to take a long time. That's why I'm just talking through them, you know. But these scriptures are in the Bible. In Revelation 19, when Jesus is coming on the horse, you know, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and those that are with him, you know, the armies from heaven and so on, you know, they were clothed with white linen. And the Bible says it's the righteousness of the saints. Now, another scripture says, another translation says, it's the righteous acts of the saints. Well, I believe that this man did not have any acts, had no impact. You know, so he was taken out. Well, he wasn't cast into hell. He was just cast into outer darkness. Outer darkness means, and I believe this in my heart, that he missed that glorious reign. That could have, he could have been a part of it for 1,000 years. And he missed that. And it was, you know, a reward. It was a reward for the works. Jesus said in Revelation 22 and verse 12 and so on, I'm coming with my reward. Behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Well, Corinthians tells us that our work can be stubble, hay, or wood. Or it can also be precious stones, gold and silver. It can be any of those things. You know, so I believe that man didn't have the wedding garment. His works were hay, wood, and stubble. But he had nothing to show. Maybe he made no impact throughout his life, you know. So, you know, it is very important. We cannot be saved by works, folks. We're not preaching that. There is no way that you can be saved by works. We know that. But after you are saved, you better get in there for the kingdom. Amen. Praise God. Roll up your sleeves. Get down into the trenches. Let me read this to you. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. He says that, though, these are the things, you know, Luke is the one that wrote Acts of the Apostles. And he said, the former theatrists have made, O Theophilus, he wrote the book of Luke, and he is writing this one now. Of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So what we are trying to emphasize here is not just the teaching part and the hearing part. You know, Jesus said, look, at the end of all that sermon, chapter 5 of Matthew, chapter 6 and chapter 7, all those things, which some people call Sermon on the Mount, all those things. At the end of it all, he said, look, here is where I will liken somebody who hears these sayings of mine and does them. You know, so it's not just to hear them. If you do them, then you are like a house that's built on the rock. If you don't, just hear it, but you don't do it, then, you know, when the rains come, that house is going to fall down. You know, so in the day when Jesus comes, so it's a prize-giving day. You know, now maybe that guy didn't do nothing or anything for the kingdom. You know, so, you know, he missed the glorious opportunity, you know, to sit at the table. He missed that opportunity. He was out there for outer darkness. He wasn't cast into hell. But I believe that maybe, you know, after the millennial reign, you know, he'll get a chance to come on back in. But he missed something tremendously glorious. Let's go to book of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 1. And I'm going to go through it very quickly. Jesus said, look, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and you are the branches. And he said, look, every branch in me. Now, notice, this is every branch in me, not just every branch, random branch. This branch was already in him. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Notice that. So these are branches that are already in Christ. These are not just some branches. But every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it so that he may bring forth more fruit. And he goes on to say, look, the branch that is not producing eventually withers away. It is cast down and is cast into even the fire sometimes. You know, so that's a dangerous place to be. You know, and Jesus said, look, but if you are bearing fruit, my Father is going to find a way, prune some things out of your life, you know, so that you can bear even much more fruit. And he said, look, herein is my Father glorified, in that ye bear, you know, much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. You know, it's all in this chapter. I don't have time to read it all, but read all of it. You know, you find out that, you know, this is a very serious thing. You know, this guy that is a branch that is not producing, he's cast forth. He's withered away. You know. Now, the worst part of it is that when we have the appearance of doing something, but we're not doing anything. That's the worst part. You remember Jesus in the book of Revelation, he talks about, you know, when he was talking to the Laodicean church, he said, you are neither cold nor hot. You know, if you are cold, then I'm done with. But you are kind of in between. So the kind of in-between story is in Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11, we see a story where Jesus was, you know, in between going to Bethany and so on. And he saw this fig tree. How many of you know that story? How many of you know the story so I don't have to read it? Come on, people, you should know that story. So, this is the story that we quote all the time in Mark 11, 22 to 23, have faith in God if you say to this mountain and all that. We say that all the time. But the story before that was he saw a fig tree that was not producing fruit. You know, and Jesus, when he came there, he said to the fig tree, well, why are you not producing fruit? And he said, look, no man will eat of you anymore after this. And it was done. But here is the commentary. Somebody asked me this question also yesterday. He said, look. And I said, yeah, you know, that's the way it is. Because right here, we're told that, you know, in this story of the fig tree, you know, we're told that it was not yet the time for figs. It was not yet the time for figs, you know. But let me read it to you from verse 12 of Mark 11. I want you to get this story. Mark 11, verse 12. On the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. That's Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves. Now, having leaves, it looked green, it looked luscious, I mean, plush and everything. Now, if that tree, I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if that tree had been withered, had no leaves, was a dry tree already, Jesus wouldn't have come there. Because he would have seen clearly that this tree is dead. Are you still with me? But the tree had appearance of doing something. It had leaves afar off. It looked like, oh, you know, this tree would have something. But when Jesus checked it out, that tree had nothing that was of value to the Christ. You know, so it's not just about doing anything. The tree was busy providing shade, having trees, looking good, and shelter for all the birds of the tree, of the air. But it wasn't doing that thing that the master wanted. And so as far as the Lord is concerned, it was out of season and it's out of the kingdom. That's it. You know, there is no out of season in the kingdom. Amen. Psalm 1 will tell you, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his light doth he meditate day and night. And what will happen to him? You know, he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's no out of season in the kingdom. So, also in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. When Jesus commanded John to write to all these churches, he wrote this one to the church at Sardis. Take note. This thing saith he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, but you are dead. Have an appearance of being alive, but it's actually dead. And Jesus was speaking to all the Pharisees. He said, look, ye guys are whited sepulchres. Whited graves. On the outside, you look like, you know, good. But inside, dead men's bones. Now, this is the message of the kingdom. Get rid of the appearances and be real. Hallelujah. Get rid of the appearances already. Now, appearances, you come to church. You look holy and so forth, but you live the life of a chameleon. Chameleon. You go out on Monday through Sunday, Saturday, and you are just like the world. There is nothing different. But you find fulfillment in coming to church. Now, well, that's not going to work. That's, you have a name that you live, but you are dead. Hello, somebody. So, wake up, church. Wake up. Hallelujah. Wake up, church. We need to wake up. We cannot live like this. We cannot live like this. The message of the kingdom is that we should not only have appearances, but we should be doing. Praise God. We should be doing. That's right. You know, he says, look, thou that sleepest, awake and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. You know, don't sleep on the Lord now. You know. So, this is the difference. You know, Jesus began both to teach and to do. So let me tell you some stories here in the Bible. You know, in the book of Luke, I believe Luke chapter 17 or so, you know, they came to Jesus, you know. They came to Jesus and they asked him some questions, you know, and said, you know, let's read it from verse 18. Luke chapter 17, verses 18 to 23. In this place, John, you know, sent, and I want to bring the distinction between, between the, what scripture did I give you? Let me find it in my Bible. I think I gave you wrong. But let me start to speak to it. I mean, I've written it down wrong. John the Baptist is sent to them and said, look, he sent some of his disciples and said, go check out this man and see if he's the one, you know, that we need, or we should wait for another. You know, so. And then when they got to him, you know, instead of Jesus answering the question like that, he actually began to heal the sick, raise the dead, you know, open the eyes of the blind, and do all these things. And then finally he said, go tell John what you see. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 will tell you, he said, look, the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. It's in demonstration. It's not just we talk about it. We come to church, we preach fancy sermon. That's great. But you go out there and make an impact. Hallelujah. You go out there, you know, Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 through about 8 or 9. Go out there, preach and say the kingdom. At that time, they were introducing the kingdom, but the kingdom of God is now here. Jesus said, look, kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. These Pharisees, they asked him, I read all this last week, you know, here or there. No, kingdom of God is within you. But when you go and preach that the kingdom of God is at hand, which was at hand then, it's already here now. Well, you know, it was at hand then. Preach that, but heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead even. You know, do these things. Now, the message that the church systems have focused on today is found in Luke chapter 10, the story of the Samaritan. Good Samaritan. Well, the Good Samaritan doesn't represent the church in that story. The Good Samaritan represents the kingdom in that story. Now, the church system and the way the church is going today they are represented by the priest and the Levite. Because the priest and the Levite is busy, they were busy going to the church service or busy going to do some ritual or whatever they were going to do. And they saw a wounded person. A wounded person. But they wouldn't even stop. They wouldn't stop, folks. I mean, how many of you see wounded people out there? How many of us see homeless people? You know, when we first started this ministry, years ago, we were always going up, calling in, you know, the homeless and everything. You know, did you know that as we were doing that, for many years, 3.5 to close to 4 years, every Saturday, Sunday, we'll go there and bring them in on Sunday and so on. Did you know that some people were actually offended? They said, well, these people are stinking. You know, you can bring them to church. I even had one person that said, look at that church from, you know, somewhere. The church was a bigger church. I gave an example. They do this ministry, but when they bring the people in, they put them in some, they have some room, you know, and stuff like that, where they put them in. And I just laugh. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You know, if a stinking, raggedy person comes in right now, or somebody that doesn't look like the church prescription comes in right here. James talks about that. He said, have not the faith of God with respect of persons. Because if somebody raggedy comes into your building, then you say, hey, stop it right there. But if somebody comes flashy, we drive up a Mercedes and everything, and say, I'm a doctor, I'm this and that. Oh, yes. Then he will be received. Well, that's not the kingdom message. Hello, somebody. That's not the kingdom message. Kingdom message is everybody counts. Everybody counts. Whether they look like you think they should look or not, everybody counts. That's kingdom message. Kingdom practice was what the Good Samaritan was doing. When he saw the wounded person, oh, he got up from his horse. Sometimes we need to get up from our high horse. Amen. Get up from your high horse already. Stop looking down on people. I mean, others were saying, you should have stayed in Jerusalem. Why are you going to Jericho? Because he left Jerusalem to go to Jericho. Read in between the lines. You should have stayed in the church. Why are you traveling down to America? Now, you got what you deserved. You know, you fell into the midst of robbers. Good for you. So they just walk along, you know. So, you know, some months ago, I got on this thing called Clubhouse. And every place I went there, people were just talking about church hurt. That the church has hurt them. They have been wounded from the church. This and that. Well, you know, I said, look, offenses must needs come. But you yourself, you better make sure you are not offended in Christ. Now, but that being said, you know, then I began to pray and repent on behalf of the church. I put myself in the mix. And I said, look, we've left some people wounded. You know, people, do you know that, you know, the message, the church thing today, not if you're not really kingdom oriented, you know, people will hold it over your head forever. The thing that you did wrong. Oh, you can't be here. You can't do that. You know, one woman even said to me yesterday, you know, she said, I mean, she's visually impaired, but she had a service dog, you know. And she was saying a testimony, actually not a real testimony, but but in response to some stuff that I was teaching. And she was saying that, look, she went to this church with her service dog, and she came in, and she was blind, and the church would not receive her. Are you still with me, folks? Oh, we don't have place for dogs. You know, my goodness. You know, that's not kingdom. That's not kingdom. I heard a story many, many years ago of a man that picked up a tract, you know, and through that tract, by the grace of God, the tract led him to Christ. And so he saved the tract. And one day, he found himself in the city where that ministry was that wrote the tract. And he went there to their church service. And this was back in the 80s or so, where there was used to be a lot of that stuff going on in the U.S. This was in the U.S., you know. And the person that told me the story just came from the U.S. when I met him. He came for a wedding. He was in Nigeria, and I, you know, met him, and he was telling me the story. And we're just talking about some things. And this man went in there. And when he got in there, well, you know, they had this black versus white, colored versus Caucasian, or whatever, all that stuff. So he was of the color that was not accepted. Folks, so the color that was not accepted, you know. So when he got there, he couldn't sit on any of the pews. It was a church pew thing. It's not chairs like this, but pews. So every pew he started to say, no, you can't sit there. Oh, no, you can't sit there. When he sat down, people moved. My goodness. And this was the church that wrote the tract that made this man give his life to Christ. You know, that's just a bunch of hypocrisy. But when he came to church, you know, I shouldn't say came to church, because I told you last week not to be saying came to church. You know, when he came to their service, they wouldn't even accept him because he looked a different way. He had a different skin color. Now, that's not kingdom. Hello, somebody. Kingdom would have welcomed them in. Praise God. There was a man, you know, one Eric Bam. When we did the opening of this building, we invited him to speak here. Some of you who are here will remember him. And he was a kingdom-oriented man. You know, they were going into places where there were prostitutes and things, and cleaning out, you know, whole cities. They bought out a whole hotel that was a red district, and they turned it to something else for the kingdom. And after a few months, the sheriff of that town came and talked to them and said, wow, you guys have done here in a few months. I don't know whether, I can't remember whether it was 6 months or whatever it was. What we have never been able to do for years. Now that's kingdom. Hallelujah. That's kingdom. And what did they do? They received everybody. You know, prostitute, gay, whatever. Now I said it because some of you, if those people came in the church today, they look different. And I remember I preached a message here years ago called, you know, think outside the box. We got to think outside the box. So these prostitutes, they came to this man's church. And the leader of the prostitute came to him while he was preaching. And they were loud, you know, just behaving like they owned the place. And just carrying on. And they could have had the ushers just walk them out. Because they were just, you know, they were just doing as if they owned the place. And they just loud, just tinkling. The Bible says tinkling head and all this. So the leader walked up to the guy, said, look, can I put an offering in the thing? And the man thought within himself, well, this is prostitution money. Should I tell her yes or no? See, now church tradition, right there and there, if he followed church tradition, he would have said no. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 22, the Bible says, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore into the house of God. Now, here was a whore right there. Excuse the language, but it's in the Bible, so I'm just saying. That was trying to bring her hire. And this man, he was there, Holy Ghost, looking ahead for the kingdom, said to the man, go ahead and say yes. Hallelujah. He struggled within himself. But he said yes anyway. Because he listened to the Holy Spirit. And this woman gave the offering. You know, and then everybody else that was in her gang, they all went and gave offering too. And they just left it like that. Do you know that that act touched this lady? One thing led to another. She gave her life to Christ. This story is on the website. He told the story here. You know, and then the lady, you know, because she gave her life to Christ, she converted all those other gang. All those, they cleaned themselves out of the street. They came into the house of God. Hallelujah, somebody. And that lady, the gang leader of those prostitutes, she became the admin office, admin manager or something, was working in the church. You know? And they were cleaning out the streets. Now, that would never have happened if the man had said, you don't belong here. Hello, somebody. So that's the difference between church message, church mentality, tradition. You know, sometimes God had to clean your head out. God had to clean Moses' head out of some things he learned. He had to go into the wilderness to unlearn them. There are some things that you need to relearn, folks. Amen. Praise God. You know, so I tell you, here's another difference between the church and kingdom. In the church system, it is about hierarchy. That's right. But in kingdom, it's about order. You hear me today? Church is hierarchy. Oh, I'm an apostle, so I'm bigger than all of you. I'm a prophet, so I'm big. Did you know that in our very first building at GMI, one guy came to the building one day and said he was a prophet and tried to talk down on me because I'm just a pastor. So I called him, and he was going around prophesying to everybody, two stories, folks. And I called him, and I said, look, I don't want you going around prophesying to people. We don't do that kind of stuff here. If you have a prophecy, say it, so others can judge. And he, you know, he told me that, what? That he's a prophet, and I'm a pastor. I can't even talk to him. True story, folks. You know, I can't talk to him. He's above me, and I'm beneath him because I'm a pastor and he's a prophet. And I said, the guy, I said, not at my church, man. I said, the buck stops here. The next time you come, I'm going to have you arrested. I told the guy. After that, he didn't show up. You know, sometimes you have to take out the whip and deal with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I would never have spoken like that to somebody who was a genuine sinner. You know, but because he said he knew, and because he popped himself up, and I had to put him in his place. That's right. He thinks because he's a prophet, he's bigger, he's greater than me, because I'm just a pastor. You know, so this is the thing that we have going on today. People have read Ephesians chapter 4. They say, oh, you know, and then they've read Corinthians also, first apostle, secondarily prophet, thirdly teachers. And they begin to build this hierarchy. Hierarchy. You are an apostle, so you are above everybody else. Whatever you say goes. And today, I go places now, you know, everybody is an apostle now. Everybody that I'm meeting online, they are apostles. Everybody's an apostle. But, hey, if you say you're an apostle, fine. But bring forth the fruits. Amen. Praise God. I won't argue with you, but bring forth the fruits, you know. So, but why they want to be an apostle? Because that's the highest, you know. But the things that are highly esteemed among men, in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, they are an abomination to God. All these titles and stuff, they're an abomination to God. You know, now, I'm not bashing people who are really doing the work, but you should get the point. So in the church, it's hierarchy. In the kingdom, it's order. Let me tell you another story quickly, because I see time is going. Church says that, look, and Jesus lambasted the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. It started out as deeds, and then it became doctrine. And what was it? They said, look, you stay in the outer court. You cannot come into the holy place. And when they put this veil there, you can't go in. You know, you cannot go in. You are not holy enough. Only we, the priests and the Levites, we go in. Now, that's church system. Kingdom message says, Jesus hung upon the cross and broke the veil of the temple. Amen. That's kingdom message. Come on in, folks. Church message says, you know, you are a lady, you can't preach. You are a woman, you can't do this. And all of that. Kingdom says, in Christ, there is neither male nor female. Hallelujah. Now, that's some of the differentiation. That's called church culture. And I've been a part of this culture forever. You know, so there's church culture. That's fine. But kingdom culture is different. Praise God. To fulfill all righteousness, we follow some things that Paul wrote about the church and so. That's fine. But you are not restricted to the church. Hallelujah, somebody. I'm going to read to you two scriptures. There were a story in the Bible of the early church. And Peter and the rest of them, you know, when the women started to come, say, look, we need this, we need the daily ministration, we need food, we need clothing, we need this, we're widows and so forth. This thing was bothering the apostles. So they finally said, look, enough of this already. We cannot leave the word of God and serve tables. So find some people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, seven of them, and let them do these things. We will give ourselves to the word of God and to prayer. All right. Well, you know, church folks took that kind of thing and they separated the people. But I want to tell you something today. There were two people among the seven that were appointed as deacons to serve the tables. One of them was called Stephen. The other one was called Philip. This is not Philip the apostle, but there was Philip. So turn with me to Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. I'm to tell you these two stories. And Stephen, how many of you know the story of Stephen? You do? Hello? Stephen was one of the seven that was appointed to serve tables. You can preach the word of God like us. You serve the women. We will give ourselves to prayer and to the preaching of the word. Well, Stephen did not let that hold him back. So church mentality is that until you come to the stage, you cannot do anything for the kingdom. And that is a lie that the devil has been perpetrating. Kingdom message says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great miracles and wonders among the people. Didn't care that he was in the church. Didn't care that he was in the circle of the apostles. You know, he went and did great wonders. Hallelujah, somebody. And I tell you, when this Stephen was being stoned to death, Jesus Christ stood up. Hallelujah. He said, I see Christ standing at the hand, right hand of power. I want to tell you that in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, after he finished everything, he sat down at the right hand of majesty because his job as a priest was done. Priests daily standing in the temple, but Christ sat down because it was done. But when Stephen was being stoned, Jesus Christ stood up. Because Stephen was a man that understood the kingdom. And Jesus stood up to give him a standing ovation and to welcome him in. Hallelujah. Kingdom message is, they love not their lives unto the death. That's kingdom message. Amen. Another one called Philip. In the book of Acts chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. Philip was also another one. And Philip, he went down to the city of Samaria. He didn't stop at just serving the women that came for food. Hello, somebody. The church said, you can't do that. We're the ones that are going to preach. You serve the tables. He said, well, you know, I got to preach this kingdom message. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just putting a little fun in there. But he went down to Samaria, preached Christ unto them. And listen to what he said in verses 6 to 8. Look, there are people, you know, they gave heed to all the things that he was doing. Demons were crying out. There was a revival in that city. The whole city turned to Christ. Hello, somebody. He said there was joy in that city. So much so that they had to call for the apostles. Oh, come and help us now. But it was Philip. He was the one that was supposed to be serving tables that started that revival. Can somebody say amen? Amen. You don't have to be on the stage, folks. You can be among the people. And this is kingdom message. Go ye into all the world. The church says, come to church. Kingdom message says, go into the world. Hello, somebody. I'm not saying we shouldn't come to church. I'm here every Sunday just like the rest of you. Sometimes I get here earlier than most people. Sometimes I leave last. So I'm not bashing that, but I'm saying it is way beyond that. Your vision has to expand beyond that. You don't need to come to the stage before you can do the works of the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is within you. that paralyzed within, and you have to act with it. Hallelujah. And let me tell you how God rewarded this Philip. He went down in the midst of all that revival. Holy Ghost said to him, leave that alone. Go over here to the bush, to the desert. Kingdom people, they listen to the Holy Ghost, no matter what's going on. Still, you know, this man could have said, great revival, I need to be known, I need to be famous. No, he left all of that, he went into the desert. Desert! He left even the apostles there, deal with that, he went to the desert. And when he got to the desert, after preaching to the eunuch, Holy Ghost gave him bodily transportation. I can't even say of the apostles, how many of them can boast of that? You know, but, you know, these are things that you can experience in the kingdom. Don't wait until you come to church. Take the message to your communities. Take the power that is within you to the communities. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise God. You know, last but not the least, let me tell you this. That you don't need to be in the church for fulfillment. People think that, you know, when you, the only way you can get fulfillment, and the only way, you, this is another lie that the devil tells you. The way that you can be accepted, you know, is, well, if I'm in the church and I'm doing stuff, I'm preaching, I'm singing in the choir, I'm in the usher, I'm doing all these things, you know, people see me, that's how I can be accepted. That's good stuff. You should do all those things. That's all good. You know, but the kingdom is bigger than that. Kingdom says, when you leave the church and you go home, demonstrate the power of God. Demonstrate the expression of the Father in your neighborhood, in your communities, everywhere you go. You know, don't worry about what people think or don't say. Last but not the least, let me tell you this, and I will close with this. Moses, when he went to Mount Horeb, you have heard me say this. When he got there and he saw the burning bush, you know, and the Lord was using that to draw him, and God was going to wait until he came closer before he would tell him anything. And I've said this a couple of times before, and I love to say it to bring out a point. What Moses saw was dirt and bush and rubbish and leaves and whatever else might have been on the ground. That's what Moses saw. You can read it in Exodus chapter 3. I don't have time to read it. But as he came closer, let me check that. God said, stop right there. Take off the shoes that are on your feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. My. How come Moses didn't see it as holy ground? You know, all that Moses saw is the bush. All that Moses saw is the dirt. But I tell you something. When God is in your life, you become holy ground. And somebody say hallelujah. But people are still looking at you as the bush, as the dirt, because you did something, and they'll never forgive you. You know, you did something. That's church message. Kingdom message says, what does kingdom message say? You know, you are forgiven. Now go and sin no more. Amen. That's kingdom message. And then you know, you don't look at yourself as dirt anymore. You don't look at yourself as unclean. God says you are holy ground. Can somebody say amen? Now, if you believe you are holy ground here this morning, I want you to stand to your feet. Hallelujah. If there are people here today that are carriers of the Holy Ghost, that are carriers of the presence of God, that makes you holy. Hello, somebody. And if so, then you go out and demonstrate it. For the kingdom of God is not in word. Paul said, look, when I come, I want to see your power, not just your speech. So let's raise our hands and pray. I was going to talk about some parables, and I said I was going to read it, but then I looked up, time has gone, so I won't do it. I'll leave it to next time. But what I was going to tell you about the parables, let me say it quickly. And so you pray into it. Pray into it. I want it to be a prayer point right now. When Jesus spoke to them in parables, the disciples came and asked him, Why you always speak to them in parables? And Jesus said something that is so profound. And I want you to pray into that right now. Jesus said, because for you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But for them, it's not given. Now that tells me that those mysteries are hidden in those parables. Because those parables was what Jesus was putting out there. It looks so simple, but he hides all those things so that seeing they may see and not perceive. And hearing they may hear and not understand. That the word of Isaiah may come upon them. That's what Jesus said. He said, but for you, it is given. So I want you to pray into that. I want you to pray into that. And I want you to say, Lord, open unto me the mysteries of the kingdom. That's right. Part of the mysteries of the kingdom that was hid before the ages began. Romans chapter 16 will tell you. He said, look, this mystery was hid from the ages. How that the Gentiles should be part of the kingdom of God, the body of Christ. But I tell you, part of the mysteries also is that, you know, God does not look after the outward appearance. So I want us to pray this morning. I want us to repent. I want us to repent of our shortcomings. And to repent of the times that we've looked down on somebody. We've left them wounded. Maybe you were hurrying to church and you don't want to be late. And somebody needed a little hand, a little helping hand. You know. Did you stop to care for the wounded? Or do you even care what's going on? I want you to pray to that. Lift your hands and let's pray. Pray and say, Lord, open my mind, open my heart to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. There is much more that I should say, but I don't have time to say it today. In this prayer, I want you to also pray and say, Lord, I want to be the salt that you intended me to be. Come on, somebody, are you praying? I want to be the light that you intended me to be. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Pray that you will be salt indeed. Because when the salt loses its favor, it can't do anything. It just throw it out. The message of the church has become a byword. And it has lost its savor. And it's now trodden. That's why people are saying we're hurt in the church. We're leaving. So we need to correct that. Hallelujah. We need to be the light of the world. And when you see somebody hurting, go to them and say, like Joseph said, to the butler and the baker of Pharaoh. They were both in prison. I mean, all three of them were in prison. And every day they talked. But one day, Joseph noticed that their countenance was down. And he said, why look you so sadly today? And that the care that was in the heart of Joseph led to all of that, his promotion. But if he hadn't cared, that why are you so sad today? Every day I've talked to you, but today there's something going on. How many times do you stop to ask your neighbor, what's happening? What's up? How are you doing? Why do you look troubled today? You'll be surprised what will open up to you. You'll be surprised how they will open up and there will be an opportunity to introduce that person to the kingdom. Hallelujah. And it's not just about be saved and go to heaven. No. You know, that person needs to live an abundant life right here on earth and also be another impact. So Father, I'm praying with my brothers and my sisters today. I am praying, Lord, that you touch our hearts. And I pray that every one of you have engaged God in this message in the spirit. Because we cannot engage God in the flesh. If you engage God in the flesh, here's what will happen after you leave this place. You will say, oh, that was a wonderful message. And that's it. That's it. That's how we engage God in the flesh. You say, oh, you preached a wonderful message today. And that's it. No impact, no change, nothing change in your life. But if you engage God in the spirit with this message, you're going to say, my. Lord, have mercy on me. You know, that was then, but this is now. I am now an agent of the kingdom. And I'm going to go out there. He said, go ye into the world and teach all nations. Make disciples of them. Praise God. How many of you want to be fishermen for Christ? Let me see your hands up. I'm going to pray the grace of God to come upon you. If you want to be fishermen for Christ. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Leave those hands up and I'm going to pray that God will make you fishers of men. And my hand is up too. I want to be fishers of men. But let me tell you something about fishers of men. The fisherman does not stay in his house waiting for the fish. Hello, somebody. Fisherman takes his gear, his fishing gear, and goes down to the lake. You got to go where the fish is at, folks. We can't stay in the church hoping that sinners will come. Why are all these chairs not filled? Because they are not coming. You got to go to them. Hallelujah. And whether they come to church or doesn't matter, introduce them to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, it's okay for them to come to church for discipleship. And if they don't come, disciple them in their homes. Let's not think that only when this place is filled, that's the only time that the kingdom is moving. No. The kingdom of God is beyond GMI church. The kingdom of God is beyond any church. Hallelujah. Father, help us, Lord. We need your help. Help us, Lord. We need your help. And Father, Lord, empower us with our Holy Spirit. That we may be witnesses unto you. Jesus said, I pray not that you take them out of the world. Father, I pray not that you take us out of the world. But I pray that you will empower us, keep us from the evil. And empower us to be agents of the kingdom. Agents of change. Don't be like the fig tree. Don't be like the olive tree. Don't be like the vine that all the trees ask. Rule over us. And they said, no, we can't do it. We don't have time for that. And finally, they went to the rubbish tree, which is called the bramble bush. Let's repent of that. Father, I repent today of the times when I should have taken governance in the affairs of the kingdom. But I said, I don't have time. I got to go to church. I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do the other thing. I'm not bashing church, folks. I'm not telling you not to come to church. Hebrews 10 and 35. Forsake not the assembly of one another. But there is much more than that. We need to advance the kingdom of God even in our cities, even in our nations. The church has shied away from taking rulership of the nations. They say, oh, that's politics. That's this and that. Well, Daniel influenced the kingdoms. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego influence kingdoms. Esther influenced kingdoms. So it's not only men. Esther was there too. Oh, my goodness. Ezra and Nehemiah, they had favor with kings to change the commandment of kings. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it starts from within. Within. Don't try to climb. I used to say to my kids when they were trying to learn how to do something, if you don't know how to swim, don't go and start in the Atlantic Ocean. Amen. Praise God. Start in this little pool over here. So start in your Jerusalem, which is first your life. You can't give what you don't have. Change your thinking and begin to impact your family. Hallelujah. Impact your family. Impact your neighborhood. Impact your communities. And I thank God for Phoenix Impact Center. You know, God gave that name to be prophetic so that we will always remember that that's what we are supposed to be doing. Praise God. That's why he gave us that. So Father, I thank you for the message today. And I pray, Lord, that you will expound it in our hearts. You know, and I want you to say, you know, when you leave within this, after this place, say, did not our hearts burn within us? Didn't I know that that was the word of the Lord? You go back, search the scriptures, and say, yes, Lord, help me. And you go out and begin to do and to teach, just like Christ, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.